Good morning, River of Life Church. Now, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Mark Millman. Work with about 22 churches scattered across southern Wisconsin, from Fort Atkinson over to La Crosse and Platteville. And if you're a very first-time guest here today, we welcome you. We do have good news for you, though. I won't be preaching next week, so please come back. Just to let you know. So one thing that I've been doing in 2013 a lot is coaching. We've actually been offering coaching to people throughout our association the last 5 years. And we have about an hour session once a month with those who choose to be coached, pastors, leaders. Very first question we ask them is this. What do you have to celebrate? What is it you can celebrate? So I'm going to ask a question of you today to kick us off at River of Life Church at the end of 2013. What is it that you can celebrate in 2013? So nobody from the earlier service can talk. We have to have new faces and places. What can you celebrate in 2013? Share with us. Health. Family. Protection from chimney fires. Well said. Salvation. Packers.
Wishful thinking.
Jody. And that really is our prayer for all of us, that we will walk closely with the Lord. I do want to share that with you this morning about walking with the Lord. If you take your Bibles to open here to Psalms chapter 90, so you can read out of your Bibles. I've got the English Standard Version here on the screen. And when I was in Korea, I learned that they do this in Korea. They do this at the Korean churches in America. I'll read one verse, and you're going to read the second verse, all right? So those of you that don't know this, that I do have a big fear. My biggest fear in life is people falling asleep while I'm talking. So to counter that measure, if you guys will read aloud with me, we do have a lot of brain research that says that you'll remember 90% of what you say, 80 to 90%. You're going to remember 5 to 11% of what I say to you that you don't speak back. If you write it down, you have about 11 times chance of remembering what you write down. So I'll go ahead and read verse 1, and then you guys will kick it off with verse 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." So if you just want to stop there, if you have your Bibles open, this is a great line to circle, highlight, whatever you do, underline. We just think things move so slowly, but yet God's been around for a long time, for thousands and thousands of years. And our span really is 70 to 80 years, as it says in this psalm. A great verse for you to mark down. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So if we stop there, that is our theme verse today. If you want to circle that, star that, that is what I would like for our prayer to be for today. For those of you that heard Don Whitney, he actually came to River of Life in early January. He talked about praying through Scripture. So if I just have one prayer for myself, for you, it's this. So teach us to number our days, because our days could be very short. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And so this psalm is like many others. There's all types of psalms. There are psalms of lament. There are psalms of celebration. There are psalms of confession. This is a psalm that is like many others. It ends with that prayer of celebration. It's ending in celebration. Establish the work of our hands. But you notice we're going to find out that the gospel is in here. That we are in a mode of repentance, even as Christians. We're justified once as Christians, removed from that penalty of sin. And we walk so we can be removed from the power of sin. And one day when we die, we'll be removed from the presence of sin. And we take a look. This is the outline of this. It's pretty clear. This is something you can write down in your sermon notes. But verses 1 and 2, the Lord is God. He really is in charge. And today, this morning, Debbie and I found that out. We drove here from Sun Prairie. We passed about a dozen accidents on the road, people that were off the side of the road. We passed three wrecked semis, numerous cars. One car did spin out in front of us. It spun out probably a half mile in front of us. And through God's grace, we were able to avoid that car. You know, I believe that Branch Rickey once said, luck is the residue of design. You know, and that for whatever reason, God designed for us to make it here safely. I'm sure you had icy conditions that you passed through. People all around us, some didn't make it here this morning. Out there on the roads, they didn't make it. So God's authority over man, God's in charge of us, whether we want to believe that or not. And I really do believe, if we just count this wreath as an example, we have a finger in here, maybe a speck of that finger is stuff that we're in charge of. So we do make decisions that are going to control how our life goes, but there's much that's not out, that's out of our control, that we can pray about it. We have to trust God. We have to apply some of these principles. You see, I think the gospel's right here because God's wrath, the two-sided coin of God's wrath and God's love, is right here in this psalm. And our proper response to God's wrath, the prayer for God's mercy, and let God be our Lord in 2014. You know, I really have made plans already in 2014. Has anybody here made plans? You go in places. And that's okay. That's cool. But what we need to think about is, are we making plans first and then asking God to bless it? Are we asking God to help us make our plans? Are you with me? I heard two African-American preachers preach about 2 months ago, and I can't get it out of me. Okay, are you with me? Do I have a witness? All right. So if we take a look here at this next piece, probably this is very exemplary of this psalm. This is a psalm of Moses. So David didn't write all the psalms. Other people wrote the psalms. So this is, I think Moses has got to be one of my favorite characters. He lived to be 120 years old. Not everybody's life is this neat and cool. But 40 years in Pharaoh's court, 40 years in the desert, and then 40 years leading the people out of the desert. So one Bible guy says it like this. He spent 40 years getting the Egypt in him, then he spent 40 years getting the Egypt out of him, and then he spent 40 years getting the people out of Egypt. But just to let you know, you go through good times and bad times. And all of that is for a purpose. So that those first 40 years, he was learning the laws of the land. He actually saw his fellow Hebrews suffer. But he did come to power. And what eventually threw him out was he got into a fight with a fellow Hebrew. He actually killed him. And he left. And then he went off. Oh, looks like Debbie's had enough of this sermon. Then he went off. He went off to Egypt, and he helped his father-in-law out in the Midian, basically desert, wasteland. And that's when he was 80 years old. Does everybody know what happened? He sees a burning bush. He gets the call from God. When he's 80 years old. So he was sort of like Colonel Sanders, you know. He got the call later in life. But we're never washed up. And he gets the next 40 years, he actually spends it getting the people out of Egypt. You know, he goes through the 10 plagues with the Pharaoh. I mean, it's a mess. You know what I'm saying? It's over and over and over. People not listening to him. So here we go. We got Moses doing these three things. This is where I just want to think about it. Those first 80 years, 120 years. Do you think Moses went through hard times? Do you think out there in the desert he goes, what am I doing out here? I was living high on the hog my first 40 years. Now I'm out here tending sheep. I'm out here with Jethro. You know, we're about to start the Beverly Hillbillies. You know, what's going on? And there it is. You know, it's like he's got to be wondering. You know, you got to wonder sometimes, don't you? What is God ever going to use me? God does not waste a hurt. And he prepares us. And he uses these things. And he basically ended up using Moses. Got us all. They'll go all over the place for 40 years. Moses dies at Mount Nebo. He does not get allowed to enter the promised land because he struck the rock too hard in anger. But he does see the promised land. He leads them right to the edge of the promised land. And then the book of Joshua is about them going in and taking the promised land. So we see that Moses is a model example of his own prayer. He really believed and did this. And most people count him as, many Bible scholars count him as the central figure of the Old Testament, a foreshadowing of the Christ, the deliverer. And so in this next piece here, I just want to share with you a guy that I met this year that went through a lot of hard times. Is anybody here a University of Wisconsin Badger football fan? Okay. Does anybody recognize who this guy is next to me? Okay, you can't recognize people in helmets very easily. But this guy named Luke Swan. Luke Swan was a wide receiver around the 2005 to 7 era. He actually came on as a walk-on, and he became the number one wide receiver for the Badgers. And he got a full scholarship. He actually tore up his leg. He actually went to the Kansas City Chiefs for a little bit, but never played pro football due to that injury. He tore it up again. But Luke Swan this year, we actually got to meet him because the worship pastor at one of the church plants we work with in Texas is his brother. And so Luke, believe it or not, we had to go to Texas to get a VIP tour of Camp Randall. But this year we got a couple VIP tours of Camp Randall. And we took a volunteer group through there from North Carolina. And he gave his testimony at the end of the tour. And Luke shared this. You know, he said that he actually grew up in church in Fenimore. He became a Christian at a young age, a Christian family. But when he became, quote, a star, the noises began to rattle around his head. Who's he playing for? Is he playing for the 80,000 people? Or is he playing for the audience of one? So when he became the number one seed, they gave him that number one shirt. And he basically wondered if he should really take it. And he did take it because he said, I'm going to play to the audience of one. And it was during that time that he got direction and spiritual direction through people through Campus Crusade for Christ and some spiritual mentors. And he shared with the group that we were with that how important it is to walk and talk with the Lord every day and how important it is to be involved in Bible study with other people. So you have this invitation they've given you earlier today about life groups they're going to start. Really encourage everybody here to get involved in a life group because that's where God does speak to us as well. Speaks to us through prayer, Bible study, and other people in the church. And that's where we need to hear what God has to say through hearing God's word. So that's the story of Luke Swan. Here's another question I have for you. What did you give attention to in 2013? Because whatever you gave attention to grew. So I guarantee you, you guys had something grow in your life. So once again, let's just focus on good things. But what grew for you in 2013? Share with me, what grew for you in 2013? What did you give attention to? What's that? Your son. Very good. Yep. If you have children, are you giving attention to your children? You're watching them grow up physically, emotionally, spiritually. Yes. What else did you give attention to in 2000?
My wedding.
Well, I've never heard anybody do that before.
My employment. My business.
Your business. And you've seen those things grow. There you go. And your wedding has kept growing. Is it over? Oh, it's still growing. Okay. And so you'll keep giving attention to that in 2014. Okay. But you get the idea. Whatever you give attention to will grow. And so we also give attention to things that really God doesn't want us to give attention to as well. So I'm going to ask that question, but not ask you to answer it out loud right now. And so what I want you to think about is, if you can write down on your notes here, what is it that God wants you to change? What is it he wants you to give attention to? Now, if we talk about what are the two biggest New Year's resolutions, these are verifiable statistics. You can go home and Google them. Google them right now. But it's lose weight and get out of debt are the two big ones. And I do applaud both those things. I need to do more of both those things. But I also really encourage you, the number one thing as a Christian is to walk with the Lord, to replenish your faith, to grow your faith. Give attention. What's going to grow your faith? So if you read the Bible, does your faith grow? If you come to church, does your faith grow? If you interact with other believers, does your faith grow? Do you see what I'm saying? Can you start asking, what makes my faith grow? When I listen to worship music, does that make my faith grow? When I participate in worship, does that make my faith grow? Absolutely. And on and on and on. And so what we talk about in coaching and asking some of these questions, instead of making it humdrum, what is going to make your faith grow in 2013? What are you going to give attention to? Think about that. And as we look at that, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom out of Psalms 90. This is what it looks like in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. If you guys could kick us off, just read verse 15 if you would. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Have you ever gotten done with something? Maybe it is church, I don't know. You go, man, that was just a big waste of time. Have you ever done that? Usually I hear presentations, I don't know if we've got any Amway people here, but if I hear Amway, oh my goodness, I can't listen to one more presentation. But we really only have so much time, and everybody has the same amount of time. Nobody has an edge on time. And so we got to talk about how are we going to redeem the time as Christians, make the most of opportunity. Different translations say it different ways. But it's making the most of every opportunity. So we have all kinds of slogans and everything that I think are very biblical. Has anybody ever heard of, you cannot kill time without injuring eternity? Okay. So how does that pan out here? Like when you were just hobnobbing before or after worship service here, do you ever realize maybe somebody's here for the very first time? It may be the only time they've ever come to church. Might be the first time they've ever been to any church service. Might be the very first time they've been to your church. They haven't been to church in a while. Do you realize how important that interaction is with them? I know many churches have a 5-minute or 10-minute rule before and after services that they're going to go meet everybody before, that you know, they can't. They can talk to other people. But it's really important to think about. The small things end up being big things. To make the most of every opportunity. To make the most of your time. Do you have any sort of reading plan for the coming year? Are you getting any spiritual discipline on the intake of the Word of God? Okay, in our teaching this year that we shared on praying through Scripture, through here at River of Life, and then we talked about meditating on Scripture later at a seminar, he said the two most important spiritual disciplines are the intake of Scripture and prayer. Those two things. So, how are you going to intake Scripture in 2014? I listen to it a lot. You know, you can listen to the ESV. If you go to esvbible.org, I'm sure many of you do that. Listen to it a lot. Listen to it in your cars. Listen to it in your house. But some way, somehow, you need to get it in you. You need to get Scripture in you. And people of all ages need to do this. You need to read it. Study it, but you need to take it in. And then praying through it. Don't worry about reading the whole Bible. If you don't have time to read the whole Bible, we'd rather have you really jump in on a few verses. Like this verse here. How about reading these passages right here? Think about it. If you memorized this and had this going through your head all year long, wouldn't this change your life? Think about it before you make big decisions. Before you choose what organizations you're going to join or what businesses you're going to join or how you're going to interact with employees or whatever you're going to do. And so we take a look at our next passage here on the application. This really is the number one thing, is to ask God for a heart of wisdom. So wisdom is knowledge applied. So we can talk all day today about scholarship of the Bible, who wrote that book, when that book was written. Moses wrote that thousands of years ago. We really believe it to be true, but are we really going to practice it? Are we really going to put it into practice? That's wisdom. You know, I find in our churches, most of our churches are pretty young. You guys started in 2003 or 4. And if you go across America, we actually have an issue. Most churches in America are senior adult top heavy. You know what I mean? There's more senior adults. People come to our churches and they go, man, this is awesome. It's all young people. We just love it. But what I find is we miss senior adults. We miss the wisdom of senior adults. And I know you have a few here. I would encourage you to go to them. But I really encourage you to take stock that people that have lived longer than us know more than us. They know how to live. Are you with me? And then I want you to talk about, this is another action plan for you if you need some, for the mathematicians. There's 150 Psalms, there's 31 days in many months, 30 in the other, 28 in February. If you read 5 Psalms a day, you'll go through the Psalms 12 times. So we had some teaching on that earlier, but if you can just go through the Psalms over and over and over, that'll help you develop your relationship with God himself. And that just opens up all new avenues with other relationships, which we talk about here in developing at least one redemptive relationship in 2014. You know, 2013 has been kind of a landmark year for me. I joined a group called Business Networking International, BNI, and I have gotten a little business. But more importantly, it's put me in touch with a lot of people that are without Christ. And I've had a chance to pray with people and to talk with them and find out about their families and their lives and their businesses in ways that I never would otherwise. And it's helped me to narrow down on a few different people that really want to know more about the Lord, hand them the Bible, talk to them about the gospel, say, hey, do you have any more questions? Where are you at spiritually? How can I help you? Think about that. What are some ways that you can get connected? If you're already connected, maybe you need to start asking the right questions. Maybe you need to become their coach. You know, hey, how can I pray for you in 2014? Is there anything I can do to help you? Is there anything I can do to serve you? Is there anything I can do to help your family? There probably is. And give attention to what matters in 2014. And so finally, we have this here in verse 17. We talk about don't wait for the other shoe to drop. So for Bears fans, that could be waiting for Cutler to throw another interception. For Packers fans, it could be waiting for another injury to happen of some key player. but if you wait for the other shoe to drop, that's a slogan for just saying, something bad's going to happen. Well, of course something bad's going to happen in 2014. That's life. The good, the bad, the ugly. Clint Eastwood, look him up. Okay. But we got to move on from that. That was life. We looked at Moses' life. It's been going on for thousands of years. And then ask God to establish what you're doing. Ask God ahead of time in advance. Hey, what do you want me to do, Lord? You know, I've got these plans. Do you want me to knock them out? Do you want me to keep them? So here's our last passage for the day. Here's our last story for the day. This is the story of Bo-Young Cha. So Bo-Young Cha is a Korean businessman. He actually lives in Korea. This is a picture of 2010. He got ordained at a church in La Crosse. You see those two guys praying over him. That's John Chung, the Korean pastor to the right. Clint Calvert's on our state staff of the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention. But Bo-Young Cha grew up in Korea. His mother died at childbirth. His dad was blind. He died when he was pretty young. And Bo-Young just was a bitter guy growing up. He became a Christian through one of the schools he attended. And then when he was in college, as a university student, he ran into that guy there, John Chung, who is his professor at the university. And John saw that he was kind of a bitter, angry young Christian. Can Christians be bitter? Yeah. Unfortunately, they can. And Bo-Young was that. And John, being a godly man, but yet being a Korean, said, you can't do that, Bo-Young. You just can't do that. And he drew the line in the sand, and he enforced his discipline on him. And his life changed through the ministry and the love and the care and concern of John Chung. And I had the privilege of being in part of this ordination service, leading the ordination council for Bo-Young Cha back in 2010. And I actually went to Korea. I saw his business this past spring. He actually owns a multi-million dollar business, which he built from scratch. They make pipe fittings for all sorts of businesses all over the world. He actually helps fund about 5 or 6 orphanages in different countries of the world. I mean, he's really an amazing man. And if you're around him, you talk about redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity. He's going at about 150 miles an hour. So there's a guy who doesn't have as many resources as we do growing up here in America. I mean, he made the most of every opportunity, did he not? God's touched his life. God's hand was on his life. So if he can do it, other people can too. But part of the scenario with Bo-Young Cha is God's hand was on his life. And there's probably no one I know that walks more closely with the Lord than a guy like Bo-Young Cha. And the importance for us to see young boys, young girls, people of all ages, how much they need the gospel. We need to be like John Chung was to Bo-Young Cha. And this last passage, it talks about share the gospel of Jesus Christ in 2014. You know, today, I may not have enough money here right now to get everybody out of debt in this room. But I have something more valuable. I have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that you have something more valuable. You have the gospel. For those of you that are without the gospel, I would really encourage you today to ask me, to ask the leader of this church, how important it is to walk with the Lord. Because hard times are going to come the rest of your days on earth. And also, where are you going to spend eternity? We all have to answer that question. Where are we going to spend eternity? And so here we go, making sure you're still with me. If you could kick off verse 1. And then with urgency, as the Apostle Paul would say it, if you could read verse 2 with me. For he said, fabled. So without throwing the gospel in people's face, but can we say it's an urgency that, hey, it's time for you to get saved today? It is. You really need to think about it in 2014 if you haven't made that decision. It's really important for you to come to Christ. It's not because I want you to, but you've got all of eternity hanging in the balance. How are you going to live the rest of your life? Who are you going to rely on? What are you going to do? You know, I just can't tell you enough. I can tell you one story after another, but like Bo-Young Cha is a great example. When times got tough, who helped him? Who was there? The church. And the church has been blessed over and over and over by helping Bo-Young Cha. So you're going to get way more than you give. So in 2014, my prayer is that you would ask God to teach you to number your days. If you're not a Christian, Lord, I just pray that you would really heavily consider that this morning. If you are, I pray that you would really walk closely with the Lord in 2014 and apply the prayer of Moses.